Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, how's it going?
Great. Doing well, Gabe. Always great to be back on this week and ready for another game.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. 2-0. 2-0. And you know how we start this after every dub? I'm going to ask for a letter grade. Now, you may have to, and I don't know how this works, kind of a tale of two halves for you guys last week. So maybe you have a different grade for the first half or in the second half. But how would you sort of analyze it?
Yeah, so look, I think it starts off, you know, it's the first time in a long time, probably since when you were here, we played Navy, only getting four plays of offense in a quarter, you know, so quite unique, obviously. I think when they selected to receive the ball in the kickoff, I said something's up, but, you know, found a way to get stopped and then go down there, and then for the offense to score two plays, but then, you know, you give up the safety, which is inexcusable, and I think there's, you know, everyone always quick to blame the offensive line. I think it's a combination of some stuff up there. So inexcusable to give up a safety and then, you know, just kind of a sluggish first half. You know, the defense gave up, we gave up too many seam balls, explosive plays, and poor tackling. Again, it goes back to, like we talked about last week, some poor tackling angles, guys not wrapping up, and then obviously not doing what we need to in a coverage standpoint on some of those seam concepts, and then offensively, just kind of self-inflicted wounds. And then I think, you know, what happened, that field goal going in at the half, a little bit of momentum, and then just kind of buckling down and taking care of business in the second half.
Yep. So do you have a letter grade, or are we going to stay away from that this week?
Well, how about this? First half, let's a D, and then second half, we'll give it a B.
There we go. Rock on. I like it. How challenging is it with a new set of circumstances, new players, to deal with that first road game, first true road test, getting out there, dealing with plane rides? And I know you guys stayed a fair amount away from the actual venue, so I think you had like an hour drive in. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That will be for this
that's for this
out.
Week. Okay. But how challenging is it, the first true road test, getting the guys ready for that mentally?
Well, I think just part of it, everybody understands it's, you know, what an advantage it is for us to play at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium with the wonderful venue we have there. But then going on the road, it just meets unique challenges. You know, so many of our guys have never been on the road. So, wait, we have to take off our headphones when we get off the plane. Okay, hey, we've got to be at this meal room at this time. It's a little bit different than a home hotel. And so there's just some different things, challenges. The locker room layout's a little bit different. You know, you get used to your home environment and you're comfortable. And so sometimes you can go out there and play a little bit higher level. And anytime there's unique challenges, hey, the lights, the sound, the views, the blades of grass, the turf, however you want to call it, hey, those are all unique. And so the guys did a pretty solid job of handling it. Obviously, like we said, the first half wasn't what it needed to be, but in the second half went out there and handled the business. I think that's part of it. Anytime you go on the road, what are the things that you can control? What are the ones you can't control? And be really great at you know, just focus on the task at hand in between the white lines.
Yep. All right. Now, you've fielded a lot of questions about the wide receiver room this week, so I'll add to it. Wide receiver room. I think the question really has to do with sort of this program and you in your tenure being used to a go-to guy. Rock right. Taylor, Demir Blankensy last year, and then Calvin Austin the third for the first couple of years here on campus and, you know, coaching this team as the head football coach. But what's different about this room than rooms in the past? And I guess the question there would be, how successful do you believe the quote-unquote, and the sort of using your quote this year, receiver by committee, how successful can that be?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you don't want to have it be a team that's quarterback by committee, right? You don't want to be a team that is O-line by committee. But I think there's a place that depth can help you in rotation. It can be, you know, really at D-line and wide receivers. Now, you want to have depth at every position, as we well know. But I think those are guys that can rotate in and out. And so if a wide receiver is getting 85 snaps a game, unless his last name is Hunter, you know, and he's playing both sides of the ball.
Right.
You know, it's very difficult to play at an extremely high level going into the fourth quarter. We train like heck. We do a great job with that. But then ultimately, you know, if there's a rotation you feel comfortable, there should be no drop-off, right? If you're number one on a depth chart, if there's such a thing anymore, is very, very similar to your number six, well, then that feels good, because if you're number six in the game, you're not sitting there saying, oh, gosh, we got to get him out of here on third down and go get a better player in. And so I think that's unique. I do think there's been some guys that have stepped up and done some nice things. And I think as we continue to see who can shine on game day, that's going to, you know, allow for some adjustments and maybe, you know, a little bit higher playing time as we go on.
Yeah, and something that's been helpful, I think, from a receiving standpoint is you have a running back by the name of Sutton Smith who's really helped in that regard through a couple of games. Four catches, 43 yards in this game. He gets named to the Paul Hornung sort of watch list there for versatility. What have you seen from him through two games that sort of really, really allows him to be that type of player?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, we use the running backs in a variety of ways, especially in the passing game. And he's kind of built like that. And, you know, I've always bragged about him for many years now, and obviously last year's injury. But, you know, he could line up and start wide receiver for a lot of teams in college football. And certainly, so, you know, with the ability to kind of sometimes, whether he starts off in empty, comes back in the backfield, motion out to empty, or just even check downs, that allows a quarterback to have, you know, kind of these underneath available receivers, and he's one of them, right? I always say, if you can take a check down and you can drop the ball to Sutton Smith and he's already got 4 yards where he catches it, cool, I'll take that matchup all day long. And that's a good thing, right? That's a completion. That's hopefully advancing the sticks, and maybe Sutton makes one miss and we can keep moving. And, you know, Greg DeRozier's kind of built the same way. So That's how our backs, you know, now we've had a different change of pace. Patrick Taylor, great hands and fantastic running back here, but maybe wasn't always built like a Kenny Gainwell or even a Tony Pollard in that demeanor.
Mm-hmm. All right, now your secondary, we already talked about it briefly, but first half, a little bit rough. Second half, they seem to be locked in. What did you see from that group in the second half that led to that better performance? And I know we've had the conversation about halftime adjustments. I think to the untrained eye and to a lot of people, you'll just hear, oh, they made some halftime adjustments. But what did you see from that group that led to better play in the second half?
It doesn't, you know, it's not always just a rah-rah speech for the Disney movie.
Right.
Halftime and standing up on the bench and said win one for the game.
Although you have some of those, right?
Yeah.
Go on.
there's some things that certainly come out of my mouth in the locker room that probably aren't ready for public air. I think what's important in that, Gabe, is that the guys did make the adjustments from a staff to a personnel and went out there and executed at a high level. And that's what you want to see. I think if we were sitting here today saying, oh, man, you guys still trying to figure that out, going, yeah, you know, well, hopefully we'll figure it out in a couple weeks. No, I think, you know, collectively, just proud of their efforts in the second half from everybody involved, and obviously clearly it showed up.
Yep, and you seem to have a new favorite player. I know you don't like to pick favorites, but DeMarco Ward. I mean, if he's going to have a pick six every game, I think you'll I think you'll lean his direction. What have you seen from him that has led to two pick sixes in two games? I mean, that's fun. If he's going to be your designated pick six guy, I think everybody's going to be loving on him. I think he'll be a fan favorite.
We'll get the jersey sales ready
right.
for the NIL. Everybody will be happy to. You know, first off, it's so unique. And keep my fingers crossed that he gets the third, right? Yeah, just first time in NCAA history. No, I think what's so unique, Gabe, about DeMarco is, okay, so he actually played a little bit of linebacker last year at Florida State, came here as a linebacker. Everybody understands the injury we had to Cortland Morris, so we're sitting there, okay, well, we're down a starting safety, you know, a guy that we felt comfortable with as a starting safety. And as you've even seen, we've rotated some guys in the back end. And you know, we sat there in training camp, and I told our defense staff, said, hey, I won the DeMarco Award to safety.
Yeah.
And some looks at me like, hey, buddy, he's a 225-pound linebacker. But, man, he can run, and he's instinctive. And sure enough, I think it was the right move. The defense staff has done a phenomenal job of putting him in the right spots. And, you know, he loves ball, so he's sitting there studying the film, has a great understanding. I think, you know, pick six, sure, there's an element of right time, right place, but that usually happens with good film study, right? I always love the old Luke Kuechly videos. Like, I just watched so much film, I knew generally where the ball was going to go. And obviously people game plan and adjust, but credit to him, and hopefully that's a streak that can continue for a long time.
Now, something that you talked about, and it sort of popped up, you know, naturally, in your post game presser, and I think it popped up online a little bit as well. But let me ask you, and it's something I've always preached, I've always talked about on my show, but why is the quote unquote game manager moniker viewed negatively? And I'll ask you from like a coach's perspective and a coach's mind, is there any negative connotation to the quote unquote game manager moniker that always pops up about various quarterbacks?
Sure. Well, first off, you know, anytime you come up with a question that was, you know, something that was stirred up online or it's news to me, as you know, so I'm going to need you to maybe ahead of these shifts.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
By the way, this is what's called now.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I can't, over my, you know, 27 years of coaching, you know, rarely do you sit there and say that a game manager is a bad thing at that position, right? Look, I've had Brett Favre, and people say, well, he's a gunslinger. Well, you know, I remember the NFC Championship, way through the ball back across his body for, our fifth turnover of the game, and he's like, dang, if he could have just thrown the ball out of bounds, then right, maybe sitting with a Super Bowl ring on. But all those things being said, I mean, look, since I've been here, Riley Ferguson did a fantastic job of managing the games, right? Brady White, you know, and I think Brennan Lewis is doing the same thing. You know, Seth Hennigan, certainly. And when I say that, I think it's, right, can you take care of the football? Can you put us in the right position offensively to go out there and have success regardless of what that defense gives you?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened in college football, right, you're no longer just saying, okay, hey, they're a four down front. They're going to play two linebackers and nickel, you know, and they're going to play quarters the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been said 20 years ago. It's certainly, you get teams in the NFL that play, hey, they're a cover two coordinator, right? You get a team that's a quarters coverage team. Now we are seeing a variety of fronts mid-series. We're seeing a variety of coverages, pressures that you're like, where did they come up with this one? And ultimately, you need a quarterback that can put the offense in the right position to avoid negative plays and to keep the ball from going to the opponent's hands, whether that's passes, handoffs that are position to put our guys where, you know, we're not being free hitters in the backfield. Now, people miss blocks and that stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
We can miss tag things. We can, you know, have a corner blitz that we're unaccounted for. But ultimately, a quarterback that can put the offense in the right position to have success and be efficient. And I think a lot of times you sit there and you'll say, well, some of these offenses, well, if it's not three plays with an explosive, we have no chance to win the football game. Whereas, man, if we can have a quarterback that's intelligent enough to put us in a 10-play drive, because a lot of defenses are going to try to challenge you to do that and go score, then so be it. And, you know, I think it's so funny because last year, top 10 in the country in scoring, also top 3 in the country in time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an ultimate game management and be able to do those things. And I think that's, it also helps out the defense. So a negative moniker to it, I don't think so.
Right.
Again, like you and I have discussed many times, you know, people all the time, and I've heard NFL head coaches, whether it's Bill Belichick or, you know, some of the famous ones, Tony Dungy, you know, say, you know, Peyton Manning, like these guys are game managers. Well, okay, if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are game managers at quarterbacks, I'll take as many of those as I can get.
Yep, and here's the thing. I think, you know, the casual fan, or the fan that's not fully in tune with game planning and looking at what a quarterback does on every single snap down to down, they don't necessarily understand like the pre-snap reads and the changes to plays that he has to make based on looks that he's receiving. And obviously that goes into game planning during the week with you, your OC, and with Brendan. How well has he handled sort of the audible outlook, I guess is the way to look at it, or the being able to make changes based on the look that he has seen through two games?
Sure. Well, let me start with this, and I'm not sure if he's a fan and listening on, you know, then if he is, great. But, like, and no knock on him because I don't know him personally, but was Johnny Manziel considered a game manager, right? And, yes, he was had success. But, you know, we talked to some of these NFL coaches, and one of the reasons why he didn't have as much maybe at the NFL was because of some of that stuff, right?
Right.
And that's such an extreme example. And you say, well, we'll take Johnny Manziel out of Memphis. Sure, I get that. He's a really good player. But I think that's kind of like there's two coins to that, right? Someone that's going to rely on explosives and all that stuff. And look, don't get me wrong. I'd love to have some three-play offensive drives like we had, you know, two plays and score. Those are great. But ultimately, is that best to give you a chance for the win at the end of the day? I don't know. If you're constantly relying on somebody to go make an explosive play, then – you know, really, what does that game planning look like? But back to your original question, Vernon Lewis has done a phenomenal, phenomenal job with the game planning. In fact, Wednesday morning, to the young man's credit, he was actually in the office and the offensive staff room before I even got in the building. And very, very few people beat me into the doors and into this building. And he's in there watching film as I'm coming into the office. And it's almost embarrassing for me. Now, it was still pitch black, and there may have been a four on the clock, but good for him. And, you know, he just loves it. And we talk about players that love football and that understand he's so intelligent. He's so in tuned. And him and Coach Krams, they have a great relationship and kind of talk through, okay, where can we be? You know, great relationship with the receivers, talking about the route depths and here's what I'm thinking. And then the checks, you know, I can talk with him and our O-line coach can talk with him about, hey, if we get this look, let's get to this. And so great, great young man. Yeah, so impressive. You know, you get when you recruit a kid from the portal, it's speed dating, right? You get to watch your film as quickly as you can. You're getting 6,000 calls. And then maybe if you're lucky, you get a 24-hour visit with them, and you're trying to figure out, can this guy lead you to winning football games at quarterback? And he certainly has done everything that we've asked of him so far and been quite pleased with him.
Yeah, when it comes to that portal quarterback recruiting, like when you get him for those 24 hours of that official visit, do you get to do some chalk talk, see how well he knows the game, get a feel for that? Because we know at the NFL level, when they do their pre-draft interviews before they draft a guy, they always have that interview process, and they're able to see what the guy knows, what they don't know. Are you able to sort of feel that out in the recruiting process with the transfer portal quarterback?
Well, here's this. I'll say this. There's some positions where you take them to Bass Pro and you show them all around.
Right. Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Here's the Peabody. Photos. It's a beautiful hotel. Look at the city. Yeah.
The Ducks. Yeah.
And by the way, Texas Day Brazil's a hell of a Brazilian steakhouse. We should take you there.
Absolutely. Depends on the position. Quarterback, we're locking these doors. I'm going to see if you can play football. If you care about the extracurricular things that you won't have time to see while you're playing for us, then probably not going to be a good fit. So, yeah, it was quick, right? Let's get him here. Let's watch as much film with him as we can. Get an understanding. The processing, I think, so huge. Can they understand our scheme? Can they regurgitate it? Can they lead? Can they command? And I think you get to see those things. Now, it happens quick, and you just can hope. And throughout careers, we've seen guys that maybe have not been able to do it at a high level. And but look, I'm very, very pleased with B. Lou. And, you know, the great thing about this young man is, he's got such a growth mindset. Like, he's so hungry to continue to get better. He's so appreciative of the culture that we've been able to build here, and he's now part of that, right? The people, the fans, like, he's totally embraced it, and that's, you couldn't ask for anything more for a young man that may be with you just for 12 months.
All right, now, last couple of things. We'll go here first. I know you guys have, you know, injury reports that you have to throw in for the American Conference this year, but for C.J. Smith and Greg DeRosier Jr., what's the outlook for them going forward?
Yeah, I think C.J., you know, was able to play last game. So, you know, just like a lot of these guys, we'll monitor day to day, but he was able to get some reps last game, and we're hopeful that you know, he can stay healthy throughout the season. And then Greg DeWorsier, you know, he did travel, and then, you know, it was kind of a game time decision at that point. You got to make sure that he's comfortable, and he continues to be day to day.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Now, final thing, Troy this week, you saw him last year. Now I will say, to us out here, I'm sure to you guys watching the film, they've looked a little more experienced and enlightened this year. I think that's the way I'll put it. They went on the road to Clemson. They held a 16-3 halftime lead. It was one of the big stories in college football last Saturday. What have you seen so far from them as opposed to a year ago on film?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for them is, one, they returned a lot of starters, which is rare in the group of five. I think what happened was they played a lot of young guys last year, and they may have returned as many starters as, you know, the Notre Dames, some of those schools that don't lose as many guys to the portal. So they've returned. They've got a lot of veteran depth, which I think is huge in a place like that, because that guy's been in the system now year two, right? This guy, a quarterback gets back, and I think you don't find as much of that in group of five. And then, you know, my stomach was in knots when, you know, someone sent me, you know, after someone sent me the halftime score was 16-3, and they held Clemson to 17-yard rushing. I was like, wait, this is the number 8 team in the country's place?
Yeah.
I go, yeah. Like, and you watch the first half, and Gabe, honest to goodness, if you just put it in black and white, you'd have no idea. You would think that Troy was Clemson, right? You'd say, okay, that's the number 8 team in the country. Absolutely beating the heck out of this group of five team. And no, wait a second, it's Troy that absolutely handled it, Clemson in the first half. I mean, it's sitting there and saying, holy cow, this is a different team, explosive. I think they've got one of the fastest wide receivers in the country. You know, they also have a transfer wide receiver that was dismissed from Georgia that was, you know, an all SEC type guy. So that's what we're finding, as you and I both know, is sometimes you play these teams, you're like, holy cow, that's where that guy ended up. Oh, yeah, he was a stud. And sure enough, they're playing efficient. They're playing very, very sound in all three phases. And, you know, look, you mentioned it earlier, going on the road, another challenge. We're staying an hour away. So just some different things. No excuses, no explanations. We're going to have to bring our best game to go play a very, very tough Troy team.
Yep, and I know fans are looking for another dub, and I'll say this, good luck, and I'll let you roll on that note. Appreciate it, Coach.
Gabe, thanks as always, and go Tigers, go.
Yes, sir. He is Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis head football coach on X at R Silverfield.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.